This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. Look what God's word says. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house," the man's name was Eliezer. He was his elder servant. He would have been his chief of staff that ruled over all that he had. "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let us pray. God, I bow my head and my heart in your presence. I thank you for the wonderful worship that we've experienced in all of our campuses. I pray now that you will speak to us and through us. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer, believing for a fruitful invitation, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am going to conclude our series, Family First, today. We started out preaching, the very first message was what wives need, and then what husbands need, and then what children need, and what marriages need. Last week was Mother's Day, and we talked about what parents need. But today I want to preach a message that's a little unique and a little different. I want to talk to you about what singles need. What singles need. Now let me explain. Let me talk to you, folks. You said, "Pastor, why would you address this message, what singles need?" Well, let me say something. In 1950, 22% of the population was single. In 1950, 22%. Today, 50.2% of the population is single. I'm talking about people that have never been married. I'm talking about people that are divorced. I'm talking about people that are widowed. I'm talking about singles. Now here's the question I've been asked. Is it God's plan for everybody to get married? Is it God's plan for everybody to get married? And the answer to that question is no. It's not God's plan for everybody to get married. Get real, folks. Some people just don't want to get married. I heard one lady said one time, she said, "I wouldn't mind having a man around the house. I just don't want a man in the house." Certainly it's not God's plan for everybody to get married. John the Baptist wasn't married. Anna wasn't married. Barnabas wasn't married. Daniel wasn't married. Jeremiah wasn't married. Paul wasn't married. Timothy wasn't married. Get real. Jesus, the Lamb of Glory, wasn't married. So certainly it's not God's plan for everybody to get married. Did you know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Paul said, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Paul was single. He said, "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them as they abide, even as I." What was he saying? Well, he expounds on it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 and verse 33. He talks about the married man cares for the things of his wife, and the married woman cares for the things of her husband. But if a person's not married, they can totally, solely care for the things of the Lord. So certainly it's not God's plan for everybody to get married. But let me make this statement. It is God's plan for most people to get married. It is God's plan for most people to get married. You say, Pastor, why is it God's plan for most people to get married? Well, let me give you three reasons. Number one, marriage reveals the image of God. Marriage reveals the image of God. Genesis 1 and 27 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What's the Bible saying? Here's what God's word is saying. God's word is saying that a husband and wife shows the image of God on earth. It's the image of God. You can look at marriage and literally you can see the image of God. That's why Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. What's it talking about? It's saying as a husband loves his wife, it shows the world how much Jesus loves his church and how much God loves people. See, I want you to understand, marriage reveals the image of God. There's a second thing I want you to understand. Marriage is the survival of the human race. Marriage is the survival of the human race. Look what God said in Genesis. He said, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, here's all I want to say. You believe what you want to believe. But two men can't do this. And two women can't do this. So you got to understand, marriage is God's provision. And marriage is the survival of the human race. We reproduce, we get married, we have children. If we didn't do that, society, the human race would cease to exist. Let me tell you the third thing. Marriage meets the physical needs of your life. Did you ever think about this? God created on the first day and he said, it's good. God created on the second day and he said, it's good. The third day, it's good. Fourth day, it's good. But the day came when God said, this is not good. I mean, it was good, good, good. And then God said, it's not good. Well, when was it not good? In Genesis 2:18. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good. I want you to understand something. Married men live longer than single men. Married men live longer than single men because marriage meets the physical needs of your life. Look what 1 Corinthians 7 says. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means just what you think it means. It means rather than burn with lust. God's plan is I don't want you to do that. I want you to marry. And marriage is God's provision for sexual fulfillment. And you say, Pastor, how do I find the right mate? I grew up listening to a guy named Zig Ziglar. Zig was a committed Christian. He's in heaven now. But Zig Ziglar said one day he got on an airplane. And he said the man seated beside him had a wedding band on. But he said the man seated beside him had the wedding band on the wrong finger. And Zig said, I noticed his hand and I noticed his wedding band was on the wrong finger. And I said to him, sir, you've got your wedding band on the wrong finger. You probably made a mistake. He said, no, I didn't make a mistake. He said, that's the finger I wanted it on. I wanted it on the wrong finger because I married the wrong woman. Now get this, folks. It's better to be single and want to be married than to be married and want to be single. Amen? You know, somebody said, well, Pastor, you talk about meeting the right person. You talk about finding the right person. Maybe I need to go to a singles bar. Maybe that's the place to find somebody. No. You got to understand something. If you go to all these singles clubs and you go to all these singles bars, the odds are good, but the goods are odd. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, how do you do it? Well, look here. In Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says Abraham was old. I mean, folks, by the way, he was real old. He was 140 years old. Abraham is 140 years old. His son Isaac is 40 years old. And Abraham knows that God has promised that the nation of Israel will come from his loins. And he said, for the nation of Israel to come from my loins, just as I had a child, Isaac has got to have a child. But he's 40 years old, and he don't even have a girlfriend. So he said to his eldest servant, Eliezer, I want you to take the camels, put jewelry on the camels, put supplies on the 10 camels, because we got to find a wife for Isaac. Now, there's five simple principles I want you to see. How do you find the right mate? Principle number one is you follow God's principles. You follow God's principles. Abraham said to that servant, Eliezer, he said, we're here in Canaan. And he said, the only thing here in Canaan is Canaanite girls. And the problem with Canaanite girls is they worship pagan gods. And he said, I don't want my boy to get one of these Canaanite girls. So he said, you take those camels, you put jewels on those camels. I want you to travel 500 miles. You're going to go 500 miles to my homeland. You're going to go to Mesopotamia because that's home for me. And I know there are godly girls there. And I want to make sure my son's a person of faith. And I want to make sure that he forms a union with a person of faith. Now, let me say something right now, folks. It had nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with race. He wasn't concerned about the race of the Canaanites. I want you to understand, there is nothing in God's word that prohibits two different races from getting married. There's nothing that prohibits that. Not one verse of scripture in the Bible. But I want you to understand, there is scripture that prohibits people from even dating if they both don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And by the way, this principle that Abraham knew is still in existence today, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Let me tell you something. If you're with an unbeliever, you'll never have the deepest physical, relational, sexual, emotional relationship that you could have. Because the most important value, the most important thing in your life, one person has and the other person don't have. You said, now wait, Pastor. I'm dating and I believe I can reach him. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't teach missionary dating. You say, well, I'll change him after I get married. No, you come up real close. Your greatest leverage for change is before you get married. You say, well, he'll go to church with me after we get married. Get real, folks. He's not going to church with you while you're dating him. What makes you think he's going to go to church with you after you get married? Your greatest leverage for change is right now. I've had thousands of weddings. I had a beautiful wedding last night. And years ago, you would have primarily church weddings. Now, most of them are outside. It's usually in an outdoor setting. But as I would have church weddings, I would think about that young girl as she came down the aisle. And then she would come to the altar. And then we would sing a song. We'd sing a hymn. And many times as that young girl came down the aisle to the altar and we'd sing a hymn, I would think, I bet what's in her mind is, I'll alter him. I'll alter him. See, folks, we're delusional. What happens is that young girl gets married, and she thinks, I know there's some things that are not right, but I'll change him. I'll change him. And look, here's what he thinks. He thinks, wow, she looks so good today. And she'll never change. Can I give you a news flash? They're both wrong. Amen. I can give you a news flash. They're both wrong. See, I want you to know something, folks. Look here, the Bible says in Romans 1 and 12, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. What's God saying? God's saying he wants you with a person of faith because they can encourage you in your faith and you can encourage them in their faith. But you can't do that, folks, if you're not both people of faith. Look here, you get this. Brother, come right here. Yeah, you. Come up here. Stand right there. Now look here. I want to ask you something. My brother's here today. Is it easier for me to pull him up here or for him to pull me down there? No, I'm preaching good. Look here. No, I can tell you. It's a lot easier for him to pull me down there than me to pull him up here. Look here, you want a person of faith. You want a person, if you're a person of faith, the Bible is very clear. You ought to be dating a person of faith because if you're not dating a person of faith, you're not too out to pull them up. They're real out to pull you down. Thank you, brother. You get this. You said, Pastor Benny, what do I need to do? You follow God's principles. Look, number two, you focus your life on God's purpose. You got to understand, you were made on purpose for a purpose. You were made on, God had a purpose, remember, Jeremiah 1 and 5, and that's why you were born. Well, there was a purpose for Isaac. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How did the Jewish nation come into existence, Pastor? Well, let me explain to you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed, remember? His name was changed to Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons. And one of those sons was Judah. That's where that derives the word Jew. It comes from Judah. Well, God was going to use Isaac, his lineage, to birth the nation of Israel. There was only one problem. He was 40 years old, just got married, no children. But the Bible says this. The Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 21, that he prayed. And when he was 60, they had Jacob. God had a purpose. See, the most important questions you got to ask yourself is, who's going to be my master? What's going to be my mission? And who's going to be my mate? Because see, folks, when you know what your purpose is, God's going to send that person. And if it's the right person, they're going to enhance the purpose that God has for your life. If it's really a kingdom connection, they will enhance and attribute, and they will bless the purpose that God has for your life. Understand something. I've had many men and women come to me with tears in their eyes and say, I know what God wants me to do, but I can't do it. And I'd say, why can't you do it? And they would say, because of the person that I'm married to. You hear me closely. You follow God's principles. You focus your life on God's purpose. And then number three, you faithfully commit to prayer. Now, in Genesis 24 and 12, by the way, this is only the second recorded prayer in the Bible. Only the second. You say, Pastor, where was the first recorded prayer? It was when Abraham prayed for Lot in Sodom. Eliezer was his servant. No doubt he observed Abraham praying, and that was his motivation for prayer. He prayed, and he said, God, when I go to the well, send a young lady to the well. But he said, I want to put out a fleece. I want this young lady to ask me if I want to drink. And I want this young lady to offer a drink to all of my camels. Faithfully commit to prayer. I heard about a young lady who wanted a mate, and at last she resorted to prayer. It was the last thing. One day she went out on the back porch and she was praying, and she said, God, send me a man. God, send me a man. And there was no owl in a tree. She was praying, God, send me a man. And that old owl started saying, who, who, who? And she said, God, just anybody. God, just anybody. Now see, I believe the three groups of people. I believe, first of all, you got your grippers. Why won't God send me somebody? All I can say is look in the mirror. If you got an attitude like that, nobody's drawn to it. You've got your grabbers. Now you've got your grippers, but then you've got your grabbers. What do you mean grabbers? Their philosophy in dating is biblical. Whosoever will, let them come. You've got your grippers, you've got your grabbers, but then folks, oh, get this. Young people, listen to me. Then you've got your grippers. Who are your grippers? Grippers grab hold of the horns of the altar. And they say, no, I'm going to pray till God sends me the one, not that I want, but I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar, and I'm going to pray till God sends me the one that he wants. Now get this. There's a fourth thing that I want to encourage you to do. Fix your eyes on their personhood. Fix your eyes on their personhood. You know, the Bible says not only pray, but it says watch and pray. Now listen to me closely. If you get married, you're going to marry a sinner, and she will marry a bigger sinner. If you get married, you're going to marry a sinner, and she will marry a bigger sinner. But listen closely. You better make sure they're emotionally healthy. I know what some of you are thinking. Where was this preacher 10 years ago? You better make sure 80% of divorces are because of emotional health in one or two. Either in the husband or the wife, 80% of divorces are because of emotional unhealth. Now let me explain. When I said you better focus on their personhood, get this. Eliezer sees Rebecca come down to the well to get water for her family. She offers him a glass of water, but she says, wait. Not only do I want to give you a glass of water, but I want to give water for all your camels. A camel would drink between 20 and 30 gallons of water. Man, that's a lot of water to pull out of that well. You know what that tells me? That tells me a whole lot about Rebecca. And all I'm trying to say to you, she better know how to make something other than reservations. You better fix your eyes on their personhood. Let me get, I'm trying to finish. No, I'm not. Look here. Let me give you some warning signs along the way. These better be warning signs. You say, what are these warning signs? What would you recommend if I see these warning signs? Here's what I recommend. When you see these warning signs, a three-letter word, R-U-N, you better run. Warning sign number one is uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. What's it saying? If he's got uncontrolled anger, you don't need to be dating him. I'm going to change him. Are you that delusional? Are you really that delusional? I'm talking about when you see uncontrolled anger, you better run. When you see that in her, you better run. The Bible tells you that uncontrolled anger is a warning sign. You better get away from it. And one day, some of you will say, thank God for that preacher that told me the truth, even when I didn't want to hear it. Let me tell you a second warning sign. Addictions. Proverbs 23:20. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. I'm talking about addictions. I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about video games. I'm talking about spending. I'm talking about shopping. One lady said, I love the noise when my card goes through the charging machine. I'm addicted. I just love to shop. She walked away. I got down on my knees and I said, thank God I'm not married to that. It's an addiction when we're buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't like. You better run. Let me tell you the third warning sign. It's greed. Look what the scripture says. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Let me tell you something, folks. If they're greedy, it's never going to be about you. It's going to be about them. The fourth warning sign is dishonesty. Proverbs 20:7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Get this, folks. The foundation for trust in your relationship will always be built in your dating days. The foundation of trust in your relationship will always be built in your dating days. Now notice, I said nothing about appearance. Nothing about appearance. Proverbs 31 speaks of the virtuous woman, and it says nothing about appearance. You say, preacher, what are you doing? What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. We better get our eyes off Susie Swivel Hips. Yeah, you better get your eyes off Susie Swivel Hips. Because, by the way, those swivel hips probably won't last anyway. And hear me closely, folks. No, hear the preacher closely. If the outer is what mattered, Hollywood would have the best marriages. If the outer is what really mattered, if what's on the outside is what really mattered, because they've had everything tucked. They've had everything lifted. If the outside is what really mattered, why can Kim Kardashian not keep a relationship together? I'm preaching better than you're responding, by the way. Percent of teenage girls say after they look at Instagram, 32% of teenage girls say, after I look at Instagram, I feel bad about my body. And we're delusional enough to think we need more social media and that social media is the answer. Social media is not the answer, ladies and gentlemen. Destroying people. Now, I've got to get the last point and I'm done. The last thing I'd say is feel out their parents. Feel out their parents. I heard about a young boy, and he went to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, I've got a problem. He said, tell me about it, son. He said, well, every girl that I date, my mom hates. Every girl that I date, my mom hates. And he said, well, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, find you a girl just like your mother. Find one just like your mother and get in a relationship with her. And he did just that. And about 3 weeks later, he saw the pastor. He said, did you do what I said? He said, I did. He said, how's it going? He said, well, mom loves her. But he said, it's not going good because dad hates her. You know, it's a proven fact that young girls marry men like their father. That's why mothers cry at weddings. You said, preacher, I don't know that I buy into this point because I'm not marrying the family. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Get this. Genesis 24, verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He said, listen, I've been down to Kay's Jewelers. I've been to Dillard's. I've got some stuff for you. But look, he was smart enough. He brought some things to the brother and the mother also. Because he understood, you better feel out the family. You better fill out the family. Now, let me tell you a story. I'm done. Jacob's well, in a few weeks when I take the group to Israel, we'll go to Jacob's well. And at Jacob's well, Jesus went to Jacob's well. He went through Samaria and he came to Jacob's well. And there at Jacob's well, he met a woman who had been married five times. She wasn't having a lot of success in that arena. And better than that, she'd been married five times, but she was living with a man. So she wasn't having a lot of success. And Jesus looked at that woman in verse 13 of John 4. And he said, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. He said, listen, all these relationships are going to leave you empty. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And in verse 15, she said, sir, give me this water. She had been through five men in a marriage and one cohabitating, but the answer was the seventh man. The answer was the seventh man. You say, Pastor, what advice would you give me today? The answer is the seventh man. The answer is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is not focusing on any of that. The answer, oh, if you're single, the answer is focus on the seventh man. By the way, if you're married, focus on the seventh man. Focus on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I never noticed this till this week. But Isaac, he got Rebekah. But the first time he encountered Rebekah, read your Bible. The Bible says in Genesis 24:63, what was he doing? He was just out in the field meditating. What was he doing, folks? He was just seeking a relationship with God. He was just focusing on the seventh man. He wasn't focusing on Rebekah. He wasn't focusing on a singles club. He was just focusing on a relationship with God. Oh, folks, if you'll just focus on a relationship with God. Well, when did things start happening in her life? Well, in Genesis 24, verse 16, she just made a commitment that I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to focus on the seventh man. I'm going to just focus on the seventh man. I'm just going to focus on the seventh man. And that's when she encountered Eliezer. All I'm trying to say, folks, you say, I'm here and there's nobody in my life. What do you recommend I do? You just focus on the seventh man. You just focus on you being what you ought to be for God. And it's amazing what God will do and who God may bring into your life. Don't focus on the man. Don't focus on the woman. Don't focus on any of that. Focus on the seventh man, and it's amazing what God would do in your life.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.